Hey, welcome to another episode of the Rocket Revenue Podcast. My name's Troy Barter. Our co-host, Gabe Pankinen, can't make it today, but that's fine. What we're going to go over, and we covered it slightly when I talked about in one of the first episodes, kind of how I got into sales, but I made a post on LinkedIn about this that that did numbers, as the kids say. I think it's at like 20 to 25,000 views at this point, which was about why I think battle rap is the ultimate transferable skill for cold calling and for sales in general. Sure, there's a lot of other things. Back in the day, because there's more of them, in particular recruiters and sales organizations in general, whenever they were advertising for an opening and they were recruiting and hiring, they would be looking for former pro athletes or former college athletes, because there was a lot of intangibles that they had that led to them having a lot of success in sales, whether it was that they were wildly competitive or they were used to being on a team and working to make their teammates better as well. They might be a little bit less selfish. The ability to, you know, wake up early, put in work, put in reps, practice things to get better at them. All of these things are precursors that make you successful at sales. So Why does battle rap make any difference? Just give you some background. If you didn't see those old podcasts, that's what I did before I got into tech sales. Before I had ever even gotten into sales, I'd been rapping since I was 10 years old and got into battle rap around 2010. So about 14 years ago at this point, 3 years before I had ever gotten into tech sales. I battled in all of the big names except for, you know, URL. So King of the Dot, Grind Time, iBattle. I had battles on there. If you're looking for them, good luck finding them. I had them removed. We'll talk about that later, why those aren't up anymore. It's not because I wasn't proud of them, but it's because not the best thing for companies to find. What might have been cool to say a while ago probably isn't the same today. It is what it is. Scrub it and move on. But the reason why I know for a fact that there are wildly successful transferable skills from battle rapping to sales is, first of all, myself. I knew that it made me a better salesperson because I had been in sales before I had ever done any live battle rap. I got into sales in 2006. That was 4 years before I ever did a live battle. And I noticed that I got markedly better at a lot of things once I started to do that. Also, four of my friends, now five, that I knew from battle rap, other battle rappers that have been on, you know, the main stage at some huge events performing in front of hundreds of people, they moved across the country to work with me at Fleetmatics. One of them I had just started, I think about 6 months ago, took my sales org course and then hopped right in at a different tech sales company, and they're having a lot of success as well. But all of them, except for one, and it was not due to their ability to have success. They were starting to be successful, but because of personal reasons, they moved on to a different company and they moved back home, are all making six figures in tech sales to this day. And a lot of them moved down here to work with me 8 years ago. So they've been in tech sales for nearly a decade, making six figures. And I don't know if, you know, you've ever hired people that didn't have sales experience to get into tech sales, or if you've ever seen what the typical trajectory is like. Not everybody makes it. And certainly not everybody, like 4 out of 4 or 5 out of 5. That's crazy. That never happens. I've never seen it happen before, particularly long term, where they're there 5 years, 10 years in the same type of sale, still earning a crazy amount of money. So, and I also think that, you know, sure, 99.99% of the people that either watch this or listen to this podcast are gonna be like, all right, I've never battle rap before. I think it's stupid, which, by the way, it is kind of stupid, but it's something that I still enjoyed doing. And I don't know anyone that does it. So why would I care about this whatsoever? The answer is you shouldn't care about the battle rap side of things, but a lot of these skills you can find in other things as well. And also there are things that you can work at once you identify the fact that they lead to you having success in sales. You don't have to get on a stage and battle somebody to apply similar skills or to gain experience that will lead to you having more success in sales. Because what I believe when it comes to battle rap is that the comfort zone as a battle rapper has to get stretched to an insane level. No diddy. Like, you have to get to a level where, for example, performing in front of other people, right? Performing in front of a hostile audience. So to give you an idea of how battle rap works, a lot of people, you know, even in that post on LinkedIn would say, oh man, I had no idea you were so good at freestyle battle rapping, Troy. what freestyle means is that you're doing things off the top of your head. I was never a freestyle battle rapper. You know, that would be people that were in Scribble Jam back in the day. Even when you watch 8 Mile, that was supposed to be freestyle, but you know, you remember like Eminem's on the bus, he's writing stuff down. He's like, well, wait a minute, isn't this supposed to be off the top of the dome? Like, what, why is he writing stuff down on his hands, writing stuff in notebooks all the time? It's because really, even back then in the freestyle era, a lot of stuff was what you would call premeditated. You know, people would have an idea of who was going to show up to the battle, and they might have a couple of bars or a couple of different rhymes or a couple of different punchlines saved up in case they ended up battling them in a tournament or something like that. But then over time, it progressed to what I did as a battle rapper, which was you know who you were battling a month or two ahead of time. And it was 3 rounds, be either 60-second rounds all the way up to 3 minutes or unlimited time rounds. I never did that. It's crazy doing that. But you would have a certain time limit. And you knew the rounds and you knew who you were battling, so you wrote for them. You know, it was not off the top of the head. You were writing down different rounds and everything and memorizing that. So where this leads to you having success in sales is that battle rappers knew how to, number one, write out a script, but that part isn't as important. What's important is they knew that they had to have that script memorized down absolutely cold before they ever moved on to working on tone, working on their cadence, working on their delivery, working on the way that they present the things that they had memorized, which is a huge precursor to you having success in sales. And not to, and I learned this, I actually didn't bring this up in the LinkedIn post, because when I was really young, this is before I got into sales, I think I was 18, I might have been 19, I had a mentor in rap, his name was Paradox, well-known dude in the Tampa Bay area. He was like a pioneer in the Bronx back in the day. And he took me under his wing, and we did a song where we dissed like everybody in Tampa. You know, it was like a diss track just to kind of like gain traction. It was kind of for fun. And I dissed a guy named Crazy. K-R-A-Z-Y. If you're in Tampa and you remember the radio in the 90s, you know exactly who I'm talking about. When the Bucks first won the Super Bowl in 2003, they won, right? Crazy did the theme song, the Bucks theme song. You probably still look it up online. Welcome to Tampa, home of the Raymond James, where the Bucks come through and they swing them things. But I dissed him and Crazy heard it. Somebody played it for him in their truck at a party or something like that. It was like, all right, cool, I'll battle that guy. So I have him come to the radio station, 88.5. So I had to show up to the radio to battle Crazy. I'd never battled live before. I had only battled like with diss tracks on the internet. And I tried to memorize it, but I was not used to really super memorizing something that I was going to have to perform. I was usually battling in the safety of my own house, on my computer and recording. And if I messed up, it's okay because I'll have the ability to fix it and then, you know, record it again. And when I got there, I immediately forgot my stuff. There was a high pressure room. Nobody knew who the hell I was. And Crazy was like an icon at the time in Tampa. Like he had consistent radio play on Wild 98.7. He had just done the Bucks theme song the year before. Like he was on a massive high. Like when the Bucks won, you got to go to Raymond James for like the celebration, and they're all the entire team. You're talking about massive Bucks team, right? Mike Allstott, Warren Sapp, they're walking around with the Lombardi Trophy. Crazy song is playing in Raymond James Stadium for everyone to hear. Like this dude couldn't have been a bigger deal locally. And I got, I wouldn't say scared, but wildly nervous and anxious. And he had a song called I Don't Want to Leave the Club. So like the first bar that I said in the battle that I had wrote down for him when I got to the radio station was, I'm breaking this guy. You ain't want to leave the club, because I was waiting outside. And I kept messing it up. I kept going back to saying, I'm breaking this guy. So I would say other stuff and I'd be like, I'm breaking this guy. And like I completely choked horribly. And I was like, man, I don't think I ever want to battle live ever again. And I didn't plan on it until I moved to New York City for a door-to-door opportunity. And I'd seen friends of mine who were battling in Grind Time, which is like a real popular, you know, like battle format that was on YouTube. It's still on YouTube. And I decided that they kind of convinced me that I should try it again. And I said, all right, cool. I'll give it a shot. But this time I'm going to make absolutely sure, and I know this has been a long story, but it will all make sense in a second. This time I'm going to make sure that there is no possible way that I can choke. I am going to practice these rounds that I wrote so much that I could memorize them and recite them in my sleep. If someone walked up to me on stage and punched me dead in my face, I still wouldn't mess up because I know this as well as I know how to say the ABCs. That's how hard I am going to work at memorizing this, because it's going to be a high-pressure scenario. I am on stage in New York, I'm not from New York, by the way, in front of a hostile crowd. A couple people might know who I am, but everybody knows the boy who I'm supposed to battle. They're boys on stage battling me for this tryout in Grind Time in Syracuse, New York. And I knew that if I didn't have this down cold, there was going to be a time during that battle where I was going to get nervous, or someone was going to say something in the crowd, or maybe a punchline that I said wasn't going to go off the right way. And I needed to make sure that I had my stuff down cold. And that is a wildly transferable skill when it comes to sales. And people always say, don't memorize a script. You don't memorize a script so you can say those exact words over and over again. You actually memorize a script so you have something to fall back on. You've got a foundation that won't crack. So you know that at the very least, you can rely on the conversation talk tracks that you have memorized to the point that no matter how hostile the person is on the phone when you're cold calling is to you, you're still going to be able to rely on those. And you can do the same thing with rebuttals or how to overcome objections. If you learn social proof and you learn how to overcome things through feel, felt, found, you know, oh, I'm not interested. Completely understand. You're not interested. I understand how you feel. You know, I actually took care of someone a couple of weeks ago that felt the exact same way until they found out that we also do A, B, and C, and they were running into an issue with B and C. So they took a look at everything and it turns out we could help them out. Now, I don't know if we would be able to do that for you, but there's a chance that we can. So question, are you running into any of those problems? Because we solved those too. So how did I say that so smooth, even though I wasn't planning on talking about that? Because I've said it a million times before. Because I worked so hard at memorizing it. So I had this foundation that I could rely on. And if you know how to do that in battle rap or in acting, people know how to do that as well. Stage acting, you know, live performances. If you learn how to do that, then, and you apply that and you transfer that skill and someone tells you, hey, this is exactly how it works, which is why they probably also did well, is that I knew that those were transferable skills and I told them about it as soon as they started. I said, you can take a lot of the stuff that's worked well for us in battle rap and apply it to sales and it will work. And they became successful really quickly because they worked harder than everybody else at memorizing our talk tracks. And then they worked on performing it. And that's the next part, is that just memorizing a script doesn't mean a damn thing. So in battle rap, what you're saying is not as important as how you're saying it. Your delivery, your tone, your cadence, the way that you're flowing your words, right? That is as important or more important than what you had wrote down. So you know that whenever you're battling and you might have known your opponent and you might have been able to prepare for a month or two, you know that, you know, all right, yeah, these bars are important, but I need to save enough time once I have the bars down to memorize it, like I was just saying, but also work on how I'm going to say it, how loud I should be at certain parts, when I should tone it down a little bit, when I should speed up the flow, slow down the flow. All of those things are an integral part of whether or not you're going to maximize your crowd reaction live in the building when you're battling, but also, and this is like another level above that, how is it going to be received on camera? Because a lot more people are going to see the footage than they're going to see it live. And there's two different ways that you need to deliver that. And the best battle rappers are the ones that can crush it in front of a live audience, but the footage also is fantastic. You'll often see where you go to a battle and someone murdered it live. Oh my God, they killed the guy. And then you watch the footage and it's like, wait a minute, the other guy might have won. His bars were good. Like the way that he did everything, like that crowd was just gassing the other guy up. So like you have to know how to do both of those things. And if you know how to do those things, when you get into sales and then you have your pitch memorized, then you know that it's not just about the words. You know that you need to work on how you're saying it, which when you hire new people in sales, it's not the easiest thing to teach. Say, hey, first you got to memorize all this stuff so you have something to fall back on. By the way, once you memorize it, then you can get creative because you have something to fall back on in case you forget something or anything, or if someone's being hostile to you, you know that you can fall back on this. But then you work on, all right, well, how am I going to present this to somebody? So I got really good really fast in sales because I memorized everything that they put in front of me in training, every talk track. And then instead of worrying about what I was saying, I would be concentrating on how I was saying it and what my goals were at every single part, which is another big thing that you learn in battle rap, is you become goal-oriented, right? A lot of people call it angles. Different rounds in your battle, it's usually three rounds, have different purposes, right? All right, this is going to be the round where I get a little bit more personal, and what I'm looking to do here and what I'm hoping to do here is this. Or this round, I'm going to focus on a particular rhyme scheme or a particular topic, or I'm going to get more topical, or I'm going to say bars that are related to sports. Or like, for example, when I was in, I'm from Massachusetts originally, if I had to battle in King of the Dot in Toronto, I'd research the sports teams. You know, I had a bar every time I run into to Bishop Brigante, who's, he's a well-known dude in Toronto. He always says it's one of his favorite bars. Because I battled in Montreal before I ever battled in Toronto. And when I battled in Montreal, I hung out with a lot of guys from King of the Dot after the battle. And they would talk about how they did not like people from Montreal, or they thought that they were like pompous. And I noticed that like everybody from Toronto kind of felt this way. So then I went to battle in Toronto for the first time, and I was battling someone from Montreal. I was like, man, this is a golden opportunity. So I said, why do people from Montreal still rock Expos fitteds? They would have never moved the team if y'all bought Expos tickets, because Montreal Expos turned into the, you know, Washington Nationals, and everyone absolutely lost their mind. It was huge. It was a room shaker. People loved it, right? Long story short, right? So learning those things, having a goal, having an idea of how to do that helps with sales, because you have to be goal-oriented in sales as well. You have to be able to look at every single part of your sales process and say, all right, well, why am I doing this here? Why am I saying this? What's my goal with what I'm saying? And a lot of times people don't do that. They don't break down every word that they're saying. They just kind of trust that it's going to work and they run with it. That's not good enough. You have to really know why you're saying those things and what the goal is. And once you have things memorized and you know the goals of what it is that you're doing and why you're saying it, then you can work on how to present it in the right way and how to maximize that and how to get better at it. You know, those are probably the largest things, but they're intangibles that are very difficult to find. A couple other ones are, battle rappers are competitive probably to a fault. I know that there are salespeople that aren't competitive. I'm just not interested in working with them. That's how I'm wired. That's how the people that I've always worked with are wired. If you're not competitive, there's other places to work at than with me. I like to foster an environment of friendly competition where everyone wants to be the best. They don't want to tear down everybody else. They want to get better than them. And it's a friendly, competitive environment. So that helps. Now, you know, battle rappers can be ultra competitive to the point that it's abrasive. You have to ensure that that's not the case with anybody that you hire, for sure. But it helps that they're competitive. But they're also, in a funny way that a lot of people don't know, is they're collaborative. You'd be like, why? It's not a team sport, you know, battle rap. It's one-on-one. Every once in a while, you'll have a two-on-two, right? I did that in Montreal. It was fun. But even the one-on-ones are a team sport. My last battle, Real Deal helped me with. Real Deal helped me write some of the bars of my last battle. We worked together, you know, like I ran a couple bars past him, and he was like, hey, what about this? I was like, I like that. I think I might use that. And it helps to collaborate. And this isn't just me. Every battler that I know, in some form or fashion, they write with other battlers. They work and they'll run their rounds with each other before the battle. They're collaborative. They want each other to do well, and they're invested in each other's success, which to me, when I'm looking to hire somebody, I'm looking for someone that's going to be a great culture fit. That is something that is definitely helpful. And the fact that all these guys kind of moved down here and worked with me at the same time, they're all working together to make each other better, which led to success. So to wrap this up, these intangibles you may not have because you're like me and you've been rapping since you were 10 years old and you did live battling and everything like that. But these are things that worked insanely well for everyone that I brought in to sales that had battled before. And these are tenets that you can apply that will lead to you having success as well, or that you can find people when you're hiring. If you're running a startup, or if you're a hiring manager, that if they have these intangibles, it will lead to them having more success. You know, can they memorize things? Do they understand the importance of memorizing something to fall back on? Do they realize that memorizing it is not enough, and it's about how you're saying it in your tone, and they know how to do that, or they're willing to learn how to do that, right? And how well do they perform under pressure? Because everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. You know, the last battle that I ever did, I battled Caveman Brown, pretty well-known dude out of Georgia, and he crushed his first round. I was shocked. one of his better performances. And right before I got started, you heard someone in the crowd. You'd hear it on the footage, even though it's been taken down. It'll be the last thing that I talk about. You heard someone yell out, "Mom Spaghetti," you know, from the old 8 Mile. And man, like, I was nervous because it was like, holy crap. Like, I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'4", 240. Caveman Brown's probably bigger than me. And just housed me for an entire round. And now I got a reply. And the whole crowd isn't necessarily against me, but they're with him at this point. And they're not expecting me to do well. And I have to win them over in this round. I don't just have to win over one prospect. I've got to win over hundreds of people that are at this venue. That leads to a lot of success. So why are the battles taken down? Well, one of the folks that came down with us actually got let go because of the battles, because of the content of them. Because you can imagine if you're working in a professional environment, you know, luckily Gabe, who's our co-host, is pretty cool. He probably wouldn't care if I had the battles up. In fact, I actually know that he wouldn't care, but other people do. And I work with other companies and everything like that. And what works well and is acceptable in a battle, particularly a battle 15 years ago, is not acceptable for the companies that I work with, both as a, you know, influencer, you know, with my following, I get reached out to all the time, and with companies that, you know, we might want to, you know, sell at Rocket, or that I want to sell at SalesWorks. So I made the decision that even though, like, I am really proud of what I did as a battle rapper, you're not going to have an easy time finding the footage on those. I had all of them taken down. And I appreciate King of the Dot for doing that for me. They've done it for other folks as well. And a guy, I forget his name, but he became a lawyer, and he was like, I don't want that footage up anymore. It kind of sucks because, like, I'd love to have it up there. These are things that I worked on really hard and I'm really proud of, but the juice wasn't worth the squeeze when it comes to that. So if you've watched all of this or heard all of this and you're like, man, I'd love to see those battles, for the time being, you can't. But trust me on it. You know, if you look at other battles, you can see me in the background. You probably look at enough interviews, you hear people talk about me. But I'm not going to tell you what my rap name was either. And that's it. That is a more in-depth breakdown than that LinkedIn post that I did earlier this week on why battle rap is a super, like, wildly good transferable skill for sales, and why it is and what those skills are, and the fact that you can look for those in people that aren't necessarily a battle rapper. So, hey, that's all. We'll catch you next week.